Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
To really two different options. One is, as we were calling, kind of the rip the Band-Aid, which is make, first of all sidewalk entrances to all buildings will be remain open through the afternoon. So just to start on that foundation.
So interesting that this reimagined Palafox, which is now something that they were, I have to confess, I did something, it may not be the first time, but it's...
I bet it's awful, and what a surprise.
It was not more than five times. But I sometimes have this issue if I watch too many of the meetings, and I have to limit myself. Because if I start getting into the second, third, or fourth layer meetings, you know, like the subcommittee on reconstruction of committees kind of meeting, I'll never get out. I'll never come out alive. You'll never see me. And so, for example, I always watch the city council meeting on Thursday.
Right.
The big meeting. Well, the warm-up meeting is the agenda conference on Monday. Call that level two. Okay? So level one is the city, the actual meeting. Level two is the warm-up meeting, the pre-meeting. Okay? Level three is what they call the community redevelopment area meeting, the CRA meeting, which is just the city council in a different form. It's for the blighted areas. Okay? I watched
the CRA. So the rabbit hole of meetings is the bad thing that you did?
Life. Yeah, no, it's not possible. I mean, how can you get a life when you have so many meetings you got to watch? So the problem with the CRA is I know with my head that a lot of interesting things happen in the CRA, but I can't force myself to really watch them because if I do, then I'll be stuck watching them forever, like school board meetings. You know, like I'll be watching the workshop for the school board meeting to discover anyway. But there was interesting stuff, okay? And this reimagined Palafox, which is the big, you know, redesign with the bricks and the raised crosswalks, don't call them speed tables, and, you know, more potter plants and, you know, narrowed streets so that you could give more of the streetscape back to the pedestrians. And when I start talking about words like streetscape, you know, I've gone over to the other side. Anyway, what they were really doing, this is a project the mayor wants to do, the city wants to do. It'll be beautiful when they get done. But there are two issues. Issue number one is cost. We don't know what it's going to cost. Issue number two is how long it'll take to actually do it. And as the mayor mentioned there, there's two approaches to doing it. The rip the Band-Aid approach, as he's calling it, is the close all of Palafox down for cars, not for pedestrians. Okay, people will still be able to get around and go to shops. But close it all down, one giant construction zone from Garden down to Main, for as long as that takes. Or you go in sections, and you do a little here, and then you do a little there, and you do the there, and you kind of move down the street over the course of time.
It's the give and take of either having one construction zone for a shorter amount of time, which could be all of Palafox, then you could do the side streets, or it could go to two, or it could go to three, but it's a give and a take. It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, and they've got A through H zones, so what is that? H is like eight or nine. Anyway, you've got the possibility of having it closed over time. Well, what happens then is, okay, let's say it takes, making up numbers, 10 months to do all of it, or it takes 4 months per section, but then there's eight sections, and, you know, so that's like 30 months. I mean, you get the point. It's, you can do it all at once and get economies of scale. And then also, if you find something, I mean, it is a historical area, so what if you find some, I don't know, Indian graveyard like Poltergeist or something, you know, and you, what do you have to do? Then you got to call out the historians, you got to do the, you know, I mean, you never know what you're going to find.
That's your worry.
Nah, not that one specifically, but something like that. And
should have moved the body!
Instead, you just moved the gravestones. Okay, so if the idea is if it's all under work at the same time, then if there's a hiccup in zone, you know, D, then you keep working on A, B, C, E, F, G, right? Okay, and that kind of, there's something about that that makes sense.
You know, instead of 20, maybe 5 months, 6 months for one shot, it would be 4.5, 4 months for one and then 4 for another. So you prolong the construction happening on Palafox. It just wouldn't be all behind a zone.
Yeah, so they're going to, the goal, at least his preference, is to do it all at one time, to kind of get it over with, start in January. That way it's not in the summer, also that it's not in the, you know, winter season, which is a big shopping season, obviously Christmas for the retailers downtown. And, you know, nobody's quite sure exactly how long it's going to take. That's, but we figure something in the 4 to 5 month vicinity, okay? A total, hopefully, fingers crossed. The other side of this is the where are you going to get the funding from? And that's what they were talking about in the CRA meeting, is reallocating, reassigning money that had been given to the hashtag project into the Reimagine Palafox project. Because what happened is when Gulf Power FPL, I don't remember which iteration it was at the time, they came in and they did a whole bunch of, remember they did all that underground utility work and Palafox was a hot mess for a long time.
Yeah.
Long time. Like all around downtown, they've been doing this, right?
It was like the old Avalon from Milton.
Yeah, yeah. When is this going to be done? It's never going to be done. How many lanes is it today? I don't know. But it's done. The problem is that it looks like, you know, it looks like the patient underwent reconstructive surgery, and not like after a year, but after like 3 days, you know, there's bruises and cuts and stitches, and that's bad. And it is not like the face where it's going to heal. It's got to be healed. So they needed to do resurfacing. Well, when they were going to do resurfacing, you know, the mayor said, whoa, well, let's not do that. You know, let's not do this partway. And they paid $3 million to the city to use towards the reconstructive surgery of the reconstructive surgery. And he said, let's do it all. Let's do the big thing. Let's make it beautiful. Let's do something awesome. It's probably actually, the more I talk about it, it's a terrible analogy for cosmetic surgery. But anyway, the point is they didn't have the money for even this project, but they did have money set aside for what's called the hashtag project. And it was set aside to work on Main Street. And so Charles Baer says, well, you know, if we use the money, and by the way, they don't even have a bid yet. They don't know how much it's going to cost. It's a swag. It's a, you know, a guess at what it's going to cost. You know, maybe $12 million. If it costs $14, do they do it? Nobody wants to quite say that. If it's only $7, we're definitely going to do it. So it's somewhere in that ballpark. But Charles Baer says if we reallocate the money, then what happens when it comes time to actually do the Main Street renovations?
I guess my question is, so if we do this, if we reallocate the funds from hashtag, how are we going to pay for the money, pay for hashtag when we're able to do that? You know, what's the source going to be? I guess that's to you, Mr. Mayor.
Well, one thing we have to understand on the background, and I know Board Member Patton's asked this question to our staff. One thing we have to understand is, first of all, the biggest misperception about this is Palafox is hashtag. I mean, quite literally, as someone who was there the first day this name was spoken into existence back in 2018, hashtag quite literally is Main and Cedar going east and west, and Palafox and Jefferson going north and south. So when we talk about what are we going to do with hashtag, this truly is the centerpiece of hashtag.
So it's actually part of the project. And the reason that people are a little bit reluctant, though, is for those who care deeply about downtown and have been following this hashtag concept for all these years, Palafox is the street that always gets the good attention. You know, it feels like Palafox is the place that always gets the good stuff. And then, but our goal was to make all of these streets beautiful and walkable and, you know, tree canopies and replacement of pavement and just better sidewalks and bike lanes, just kind of everything. And now instead of fixing Main Street, which is, you know, not a great stretch of street. It's not terrible, but it's not great. It's not beautiful. You know, nobody goes to see Main Street. They go to see Palafox. And the opportunity to work on Main Street is now being, the money is being used to do an even better job on Palafox. And so why do that? Well, Mayor says, but this is part of it. And this is more pressing because it has to be done. It needs to be done anyway. We might as well do this part instead of having done just that part.
There is no rhyme or reason why Main Street had to be first. And this is someone who met with Scape every single day for 6 months. The whole idea was they thought that could be a little less invasive. Well, once FPL came in and cut all the utilities, that changed it because we knew that construction was imminent on Palafox Street no matter what. I mean, we're going to have to go do something. We owe it to the businesses. FPL wants to get that done. So that is what changed the order. But there is no science behind why Main should be first. That's just how the cookie crumbled.
Yeah, it was kind of arbitrary, is his argument, that they picked Maine to do first for the hashtag, and they could have picked Palafox to do first. And, well, now you've got, you know, ugliness on Palafox. Why don't we just do Palafox, since that's, you know, important too, and we'll come along later, and we'll, you know, we'll do Maine. And so Jared Moore, who is the city council president, but not the CRA, I think chair, you may notice they call them board members instead of council members. It's all this sort of bureaucratic silliness. We're a CRA board member. We're not a council. Stop. It's all the same people. it's because of the architecture of how a CRA works. They have to go by all this. And again, Jared is not the chair. I think Teniette Broughton, I think, is the chair of the CRA when they reconstitute as all the same people in a slightly different hat. Anyway, but Jared Moore's like, well, why do we even have to reallocate this money?
Why does it have to be reappropriated as Palafox part of the hashtag? Why couldn't that just, you know, count? If it was going to Main Street, it was still allocated as hashtag. It didn't have to be put into some phase one Main Street line item. Why are we having to move it now? I could respond to that.
Which, by the way, I mean, that's a good question, right? Their mayor's in there asking them to move the money and then also saying, but it's the same project. Well, why do you have to move the money if it's the same project? Right? I mean, that's a fair question. And then what happens when we have to come back later and do the actual rest of the hashtag? How do we make sure that it's funded? That's what Charles Bear is concerned about. So there's going to be an answer, and it's a very simple answer.
The bonds were first issued. It was clear that the CRA wanted to oversee what projects specifically the bonds were going to go to. This line item specifically said phase one, hashtag phase one, which was always known to be Main Street.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny. The CRA, them, before, previous city council as CRA, said, we want to control the order of things for the hashtag. We want to make sure that Main Street gets done first, you know, in case they run out of money and they can't do the rest of it. Or because that's our priority. Well, it doesn't really matter. And now the mayor and the city council are saying, we'll change our mind because circumstances on the ground have changed. Let's do Palafox first. But in order to do that, you have to basically undo the vote of the prior board, and that happens all the time in government. So this is kind of a good example of how there's a principle in government that we don't talk about a lot, but it every once in a while comes up when, like, a county commission wants to do something and then they want to prevent a future commission from undoing what they're doing. Well, you can't, because the principle is that a current board can't bind a future board. You know, the current board can't take away the powers of a future board by using the powers that they both have in common. Because this board now is that board then. They're equal across time. You know, much like constitutional officers can't tell each other what to do. They can make policies that might influence each other, but they cannot take away the power that they themselves have when future boards are entitled to that same exact level of constitutional authority. And so, in this case, the CRA in the past voted to do Main Street. And the CRA and the president is saying, no, Palafox, which is perfectly acceptable. So when you think a decision has been made, until the money's actually been spent and the thing is in the ground, it hasn't been made. It can always be unmade. 523 on news, you know, maybe not the best example, but it's the one that comes to mind, is you can make alcohol illegal, and then in the future you can remake alcohol legal. Prohibition, and then the elimination of prohibition, what, through a constitutional amendment? Because you have the power to make amendments, 18, and then you have the power to revoke, 21. It's not quite the same, but it's basically the same idea. 524 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, hot today. Hot, 96. That means,
how hot is it?
Well, with the heat index, it's going to be probably like 108, 110, 112, something in that vicinity. So,
that was an opening for a joke.
No, I don't have one. Okay. Did you have one, Candy?
No, I don't.
Oh, Candy's back with us again today, in case you can't hear her.
Yeah.
And tomorrow also.
Yes.
John Pickens has extended his away time for one day, so we get you for one extra day.
Who doesn't want to stay in the Lone Star State?
No, that's right. Deep in the heart of Texas?
Yeah. I love that.
I can't believe we both did it at the same time.
Should I go to spots?
No. 524. It's the worst Pee Wee Herman impression that anybody has ever done. I'm Andrew McKay.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. Stroke risk may increase. Eliquis can cause serious and potentially fatal bleeding. Don't take if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or bleed longer. A spinal injection increases blood clot risk, which may cause paralysis. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or bruising, or back pain, tingling, numbness, muscle weakness, or incontinence. Aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
If my dog Ginger could speak English, you'd hear her say she wants her own doggy vacation at Play and Stay Pet Daycare when I go on vacation. But since she doesn't speak English, I'm going to translate. What's that? Play and Stay Pet Daycare is the only pet daycare in Pensacola with an on-site veterinarian. And they're cage-free with large indoor and outdoor play areas where you love to run and romp with your friends. So where are they? That's right. Play and Stay Pet Daycare is at 4220 North Davis Highway, across from Bailey's Farmers Market, online at olivebranchpethospital.com. Who's a good girl? Yeah.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community. This summer, get tips on beach time and ways to help make sure your guests don't miss a thing. Friday at 9:30, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
Florida State football's coming. Are you ready? The season kicks off as the University of Alabama rolls into town for the first time ever. The epic season continues as the Noles take on teams like Virginia, the Hurricanes, Clemson, Florida, and more. Have your business branded inside all the games, plus weekly promos and commercials. A special sponsorship package is waiting just for your business. Get your business on the field. Call 850-262-6000 to be an FSU sponsor right here on News Radio 92.3.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 92.3.
You know how I know?
How?
Because smart people told me.
Wait, wait, whoa. Wait, stop the music. You say what now?
I've never seen West Wing. I know it's in our list, though. Everybody says it's amazing. It's about the president, right? Dude, I know.
Did I just twice?
You break my heart every day.
It's called. It's Jed Bartlett. It's Martin Sheen. It's the best political show ever made.
No, I hear that.
You've never.
I used to like not give a. You know.
I know.
Because you know. I like that Kevin Spacey thing on Netflix. To look down trouble. Like, that was really, really good too. But like, it is. It's politics. I hear The West Wing is like the best show ever. Like 6 feet under, great. Did you watch that?
David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines.
Oh,
David.
Excuse me for bringing up a show that's not political. Hi, David.
Yep. I've never seen it either.
God,
so.
Stop it.
I know. We watch wrestling.
What?
We're not together, but we're. Yeah okay.
Whatever.
He's
Go on,
better.
David. I just.
All right, headlines today. The Pentagon's pulling the Marines out of Los Angeles. They were deployed there in response to anti-immigration enforcement protests. They'd been deployed to protect federal buildings and personnel. Tributes are pouring in for Malcolm Jamal Warner after reports he drowned Sunday in Costa Rica. Fans in his birthplace of Jersey City remembering the 54-year-old Cosby Show star for his impact. One person saying it was powerful to see a black figure like Warner on TV. Shaping how they saw themselves.
That was really, and I shared this exact same concern, that the lasting bad impact of what Bill Cosby did was way beyond what he did to those women, right? And one of the key things was that he was always the representative of a different idea for black culture, you had the successful doctors on TV and healthy family and wonderful behavior and all this stuff, and Theo, Malcolm Jamal Warner, you know, one of the things he said about that is, you know, it kind of ruined that image for people, because instead of thinking of the Cosby Show as this iconic example of all that, it's this other thing, this horrible thing. So, yeah, no, terrible news.
Absolutely.
And 54?
Yes, 54.
Drowned in Costa Rica, swimming in a riptide.
With this, and it happens. Have you ever been stuck?
It does.
I've been stuck.
I've had
scary.
A couple of times where, like, it scared me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, sorry, David, were you done? Did you have another one, or are you done?
Well, I had one other quick one here. Elon Musk says his AI company XAI is now considering a kid-friendly version of its chatbot, Grok. And if they implement that, they're going to call it Baby Grok.
That's the Hitler one, though, right?
Yeah, Nazi Junior.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the summer youth camp for Hitler youth.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump's August 1st deadline for the nation to strike trade deals with the U.S. is fast approaching. White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt.
I can tell you the trade team and the president himself continue to be very engaged with countries around the world when it comes to our trade agreements. You have the president of the Philippines who will be visiting the White House.
The president greets the Philippines leader Ferdinand Marcos Jr. at 11 a.m. Eastern. Iran will not be giving up nuclear enrichment.
It is a question of national pride. Our enrichment is so dear to us.
Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi on Fox's special report, roughly 700 active duty U.S. Marines mobilized in June to help quell anti-immigration protests in Los Angeles now being returned to their normal duties. That word coming from the Pentagon. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. It's a hot one. We've got a heat index almost at triple digits already this morning. It's 82 and partly cloudy in Pensacola. Of course, we'll get more on our weather forecast in just a few minutes with meteorologist Brooke Richardson. Escambia County EMS has a new way to release information. They're posting Escambia EMS by the numbers graphics now twice a month. The first edition they posted, they provided some data from the Pensacola Beach Air Show weekend, which showed a significant increase in patient encounters for this year. They had 115 for 2025. That compared to 66 in 2024. Of those encounters, 102 people were treated and released at the beach. 65 cases of heat-related illness were reported. 12 people were transported to hospitals. One person was airlifted. The Escambia EMS by the numbers graphics will be posted twice a month, and the information provided could rotate among various different benchmarks. A Pensacola woman will spend 20 years in prison for trafficking fentanyl. 41-year-old Georgina Ann Nichols was sentenced last week on fentanyl trafficking, possession of a controlled substance, and introduction of contraband into a county jail charges. Prosecutors say Nichols was arrested with more than 6 grams of fentanyl after a traffic stop in Pensacola last September. She was taken to the county jail, where she was later found holding an ounce of fentanyl in her jail cell. The 20-year sentence will be served day for day. Nichols was also fined $150,000. A UWF biology professor has been recognized as a highly ranked scholar by Scholar GPS. Dr. Wade Jeffrey was placed in the top 0.05% globally in life services. He's known for his research on bacterial function in the ocean and the effects of ultraviolet radiation on marine microbes. Jeffrey has authored 120 publications and raised more than $8 million for research projects. He's been with UWF since 1992. He serves as the director for the Center of Environment Diagnostics and Bioremediation. A Central Florida man's accused of raping and murdering a 13-year-old girl. He was sentenced to life in prison after agreeing to a plea deal yesterday.
Friends and family of Madeline Soto spoke of how her murder shattered their lives and how much they despised Stephen Stearns. Tyler Wallace is her father.
You're depraved. You're weak. You're a coward.
Wallace says Maddie had been thinking about moving in with him before she died. Stearns offered an apology after admitting to murder and sexual abuse.
I've prayed to God countless times to trade places with her, to take me instead.
The judge sentencing Stearns to life without parole. I'm Gordon Bird.
Thank you, Gordon. Florida's got a new top financial watchdog. Blaise Ingolia was sworn in yesterday as Florida's chief financial officer and fire marshal. Ingolia will oversee billions of dollars in state funds. Before becoming CFO, Ingolia was a Republican state senator from Hernando County. He replaces, of course, Jimmy Patronis, who's now serving as our District 1 representative in Congress. It is 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. And let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
This is
meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing another hot day today. Temperatures warming near 96 degrees. Heat advisory in place from 10 a.m. till 7 p.m. with temperatures feeling well into the hundreds. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For Wednesday, rain chances increase a bit. 70% chance of rain, high near 94. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now we've got, it's a warm start to the morning. We've got 82 degrees across the area. We're already seeing pretty close to triple-digit heat indexes. Your next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Delta is gearing up to use artificial intelligence to automatically adjust ticket prices based on what the technology thinks you can afford. The airline said it started testing this idea with 1% of tickets and plans to bump that figure up to 20% of tickets by the end of 2025. Officials have revealed that a sweeping cyber espionage operation targeting Microsoft server software compromised about 100 organizations as of the weekend. Microsoft on Saturday issued an alert. Capital, currently made up of about 30 people. OpenAI CEO Sam Altman is slated to speak at a conference hosted by the Federal Reserve in D.C. today. Futures are slightly lower. That's your money now.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 538 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Do you like the Clash version or the Bobby Fuller 4 version, by the way, Candy?
The Clash.
Of course, yeah.
But I mean, I like them both.
But once you've heard the Clash version, the Bobby Fuller 4 version just sounds so slow.
I mean, it does, right?
It's not.
It absolutely does.
It's not McJones. All right. Yesterday, I had a good chance to talk with Bob Johnson, Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Hey, good to have you. So, you guys had a pretty scary thing happen yesterday. Is that right?
Yeah, last night, as a matter of fact, we had a idiot out on Navarre Beach try to abduct a girl, and we got in a pursuit with him, chased him all the way up to Yellow River Bridge where he crashed. And then, like most criminals who are stupid, he gets out and decides he wants to fight with four or five deputies, and he ends up getting tased and taken into custody. And he's now a current resident of the Milton Hilton.
Does he? By the way, Candy's here. She says hi. Can you hear her?
I can hear her. Hey, Candy.
Is there a bond amount set for him yet? Do you know, or does that have to be this morning?
Okay. Yeah, that'll be at first appearance. So.
Okay. So he, you say he tried to. He did not succeed. He did not succeed in actually kidnapping the girl.
Correct. It was a 9 or 10 year old girl, and that's what basically got us out. You know, to start looking for this guy. And once they found him, he took off at high speed. And once you try to abduct a kid, you know, we're going to chase you till wheels fall off, and then make sure you end up in jail. So, and that's basically what happened. He lost control of his vehicle right there at Dead Man's Curve, is what we call it, right before the Yellow River Bridge on 87, flipped it, and then, like I said, got out and wanted to fight.
Wow. So the girl, I mean, what was the scenario? Was it on a street or on the beach, or like how did, like what actually happened? Because it's helpful to teach parents when the threat arises. It's also helpful for kids to know what they need to do, right?
Right. And I don't know the exact, I'm still driving into the office. I'm going to read the report when I get in. But I would just say this, you know, and I know everybody goes to the beach to have a good time, and I would love for everybody to have a good time. But you have to watch your kids very closely because we live in a very safe county, but not everybody lives here. We have transients that come through, and, you know, they're capable of some pretty bad things. Man. So just pay attention to your kids.
Man, and I know that's the kind of thing where you swarm to him, you find him, you chase him, you get him, it's something you kind of raise a question. I don't know that you and I have talked about this. I talk about chase policy a lot with Sheriff Simmons.
Yeah.
But you know, the policy in Escambia had been previously to avoid chasing, but then we started to have these drive-bys that were all being done by stolen cars, and so they decided to, you know, instead have a policy that a stolen car, they would definitely engage a chase because that's to cut down on the use of them in other criminal activity. I don't know what your policy is in the county and if it has enhanced or changed in the last year.
No, it hadn't been changed. It's still a forcible felony, you know, and that's another thing that this guy did once the chase initiated. He rammed one of our patrol cars. I forgot to tell you that part.
Okay.
And then tried to ram some other ones. So once the felony's been committed, you know, they can chase. And, you know, we don't want to put people's lives in jeopardy for a tag light being out or something. There's several agencies in Florida who have a pursuit policy of if he runs, you pursue.
Okay.
And, you know, we don't want to end up killing somebody because he got a tag light out or something. So it has to be something pretty substantial for us to get involved in a high-speed chase, because not only does it put the dirtbag's life in jeopardy, but it puts my deputy's lives in jeopardy and the general public. I mean, you're just driving along going to Walmart. Next thing you know, some idiot runs into you doing 100 miles an hour. That's a bad day.
Right, right. I thought that it was pretty standard that law enforcement agencies had, you know, in the old days, you think they chased everybody, and then that had changed over time. So you're telling me there are other agencies in Florida that will chase on everything, which is that's news to me. Interesting.
Yeah. I believe one of them is Florida Highway Patrol. They'll chase. So, yeah.
Interesting.
Yep, they sure will.
I wanted to ask you, this is just I'm kind of just curious how this works, because I'll just say it for what other people might think. The world smells like marijuana today. And we don't even have legal, like just recreational. It's kind of my wife and I were, you know, walking the other day, and, you know, we smelled a really, really pungent, disgusting smell of somebody in their car getting high. Using their medicine. And it occurred to me, I thought, you know, it used to be you'd pull somebody over and that was probable cause. And you and I have talked about how the canines that would all alert on marijuana, they could not be used anymore because that's no longer probable cause. And you've had to have canines that learn to alert only on hard drugs. But as an officer, I assume it's the same rule. Like it could reek of marijuana and that is not probable cause, right? You have to show a behavior or something.
Yeah, I mean, it still can be used as probable cause if you engage with the person correctly. Because first question, when you smell marijuana in a car now, used to, you just pull them out, you'd search the car, and that'd be that. Well, now, the first question the officer asks is, do you have a medical marijuana car?
Oh, you are allowed to ask?
Oh, yeah, you can ask.
Interesting.
You can ask. And then it's up to them to provide it to you. If they do not provide it to you, then that may be used as probable cause, because that means they're possessing it illegally because they don't have a medical card. So, and I would say to people out there who do have the medical card, carry it just like a concealed weapons permit or just like your driver's license, because if you've got dope in your car and you get stopped and you don't have that card yet, you can go to jail.
Interesting. It makes sense to do it as a, you know, a proof of legality, but I'd not thought about it as how if you're, you know, carrying concealed and you don't have your ID, or if you're, I mean, not now in Florida, but previously, but certainly, you know, carrying weed and you don't have a license, that can be, you know, that can actually be a problem for you. Only on hard drugs. They don't alert on marijuana anymore. Is that right?
Yeah, the only, we have one dog that alerts on marijuana, or two dogs actually, that still get trained on marijuana. One's in the school system and the other's in the jail.
So, oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, obviously in situations where they can't have it. Okay.
Right.
Last thing is Stuff the Buses Thursday, something that you guys participate in every year, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. What a great cause. It's getting to be school time again. And I know the kids aren't wanting to go back to school, but I'm sure parents are wanting them to, probably. That's the way it used to be around my house. It's like, please, please, school, get back in session, please, please.
The countdown clock for kids is till the end of the semester. The countdown clock for parents is to the end of summer. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
But I urge anybody, you know, that wants to donate, that's a great cause. And we participate every year. And hopefully they'll have a big year this time, too.
Absolutely. Sheriff Bob Johnson, Sheriff, as always, thank you so much for the time. I look forward to talking to you again next week. I appreciate it.
Sounds good. Take care.
Absolutely. 546 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Not all service companies are created equal. Hi, this is Judy Lacey with Barberry Plumbing, and we're proud to say we're a local, family-owned small business serving our community for over 50 years. In 1972, my dad, Louis Barberry, started this company with a vision of providing the best quality service with honesty and integrity for the community. Small businesses are the heart of America, and when you support a locally owned small business, you help to keep your community strong. We are not one of those plumbing franchise companies that will charge you an arm and a leg. At Barberry Plumbing, we always use the flat rate pricing so you know exactly how much the job will cost before the work begins. No franchise fee to pass along. You may not need a plumber today, but when you do, call Pensacola's best plumber, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. And don't forget to like us on Facebook.
License number RF1106-7749.
Summer's heating up, and so is the menu at Sonny's Barbecue. This is Eldon with Sonny's. Sink your teeth into delicious competition-style St. Louis ribs, smoked to perfection and ready for a standing ovation. Or try the new barbecue slider sampler. Three bold sandwiches and one happy belly. Feeling a little tangy? Grab the Tennessee Vinegar pulled pork sandwich. It's got a zip that you won't soon forget. Don't forget to save room for the strawberry corn cakes. They're sweet, seasonal, and only for summer. Visit sunnysbarbecue.com for the location nearest you.
You're at the age where you're ready to retire. You're probably considering downsizing. You've worked hard all of your life, and now it's time for you to enjoy your time. But where? There are many choices when it comes to a retirement community, but there is one you'd really want to know more about. Tune in Thursday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as Tranquil Villas and Myrtle Grove Villas will be the guests to discuss all the great reasons to consider retiring in either retirement community. You'll be glad you did.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Quiero Taco Bell.
guys call him that Van Halen guy?
Remember that? There was a woman that trained me on the board, and she goes, yeah, whenever you can't find the music that he likes that Van Halen band. And I was like, oh, that's so cute. And I'm not saying it like that. She just didn't know that Van Halen band. And
who
so now
was
we
that?
Call him that. Gracie.
Oh, it was Gracie.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
right.
I'm not
that's
saying right. that. She's amazing.
She's like 25,
I wish she'd come
right?
back.
And she's great. But yeah, we used to always joke around about her and all the, you know, she's young, so she doesn't know.
But it was just
stuff
funny
because
it's like we grew up on that Van Halen
yeah,
band.
That
like,
Van
oh, that
Halen
Van Halen band.
Band.
I was like, oh, that's so cute. And now we call him that all the time.
Yeah, my yeah.
And I miss Gracie. I wish she'd come back. She's fantastic.
What are you watching? I'm watching this old show my parents like. It's called Friends. Have you ever heard of it? 550
yeah,
on News
like
Radio 92.3. That is the most painful from a Gen Z thing I have ever been asked, is that exact thing. Is
yeah,
that...
I love watching old TV shows, classic, vintage, like Friends.
It's yeah.
Like...
It's. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Now that I feel sufficiently old, too.
It's not like Friends was made last century. 30 years ago, you know.
Why do you make everything worse?
30 yeah,
the country,
years
us.
Ago. Go on, David.
Well, the Pentagon is pulling the Marines out of Los Angeles. They were deployed there in response to the anti-immigration enforcement protests. They'd been protecting federal buildings and personnel. Civil rights activists are criticizing the Trump administration's release of Martin Luther King Jr. assassination files. They're calling the timing a distraction from the controversy over the Jeffrey Epstein records. Reverend Al Sharpton called it a desperate move. Atlanta's King Center said the release was ill-timed. The thousands of pages include FBI investigation notes, leads, and details about assassin James Earl Ray's former cellmate, according to Intelligence Director Tulsi Gabbard.
Can I tell you what I think is weird about this whole story is I don't really understand why the family is so worried about what's going to be in these files. Like, if you know your grandpa, dad, whatever, you know, like, what are you worried is going to be in there that you think is going to come out that you got to warn people, hey, don't be distracted by whatever weird stuff you have in there. You just be like, okay, well, we'll finally find out what's going on. I don't know. It's
right.
It's an odd. It's
a little
I mean,
bit,
I get
yeah.
that they, you know, they don't necessarily trust the government and they think the government might have planted or who knows. But it was kind of a weird thing for them to say, hey, before you read all of this stuff and hear the reporting on it, don't be too worried about whatever you find in there. And I'm like, well, what are they going to find in there? I don't know. It's just odd. But go on.
And the interim CEO of Astronomer is looking at the bright side after the former CEO and top human resource executive
were
caught having an affair on the Kiss Cam at the Coldplay concert. The video of the couple's scramble to get off camera, of course, went viral. Andy Byron resigned. New CEO Pete DeJoy said on LinkedIn that the spotlight has been unusual, but now the AI data operations startup is a household name, so he's excited about that.
Yeah,
I'm surprised
byproduct
people
of this
didn't try to short it.
Is it yeah, that's right.
Yeah, right.
Astronomer is a known product now, and so they're getting a bump of whatever sort, maybe a different kind of bump than they were getting before. 553. By the way, is the HR director gone?
Nobody said anything about
her. How is it that the CEO resigns and the HR director is like, what's she doing? You know,
my favorite part, like CEO, they use his LinkedIn photo. Like that one where he's just sitting there, like obviously a professional photo.
That's what Astronomer put up for their...
No, that's what, like all the news, they're like, ha-ha. You know, like
yeah,
Monica
yeah.
Lewinsky, I don't know what picture, like it's like, why is her hair like that? Is that her driver's license photo? But here they use his LinkedIn pic. It's like, yeah, maybe he could work here.
What makes you think
I don't know.
554.
We could hook him up with Sandy.
554 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
She's single? What?
Oh,
okay,
this is kind of interesting. This is a. I don't want to make more of this than it deserves, but it raised my eyebrow. Okay, to see the story about how on Thursday UWF, the Board of Trustees, is going to have a meeting, which that's not eyebrow raising. But one of the items there is that Manny Diaz, the new interim president, who we talked to last week, is going to request a vice president chief of staff to help him, you know, facilitate and organize and accomplish and whatever. And they're wanting to pay him $180,000. This is for the assistant, basically. Plus fringes pushing 100, including $75 per pay period for cell phone.
He can't come off some of that $600K he's got?
Yeah, well, that's the kind of the question is, Manny Diaz is getting paid more than Martha Saunders,
yep.
And Martha Saunders did not have this person to help,
yep.
Which you know, in some worlds, that kind of reminds you of your workplace where they get rid of you and discover that you were doing three jobs, you know, yeah. right? Like, so I don't want to make more of it than it is. It might make perfect sense, but it also seemed, I know that the critics, which I have been a critic, but, you know, the critics are going to say, we just hired you for more money than she was getting paid, and you have less on paper qualifications, and now you're telling me that you can't even do the job without us hiring a very, very expensive assistant. Like, that's how people are going to view it, which I'm looking forward to the conversation, and I hope that question comes up. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, did you see the story? This is a weird story about a recall. Because 5 million pools are being recalled, and they're made by all kinds of people. They're
like swimming pools?
Above ground swimming pools. Yeah, the kind that, you know, just a circle up above the ground is like 4 feet tall. Because there have been some children die. Because the straps that go around the pool, like there's posts in the ground, and then you put these straps around the posts that attach to the pool. And because apparently they did not product test this with toddlers, but toddlers will climb up the straps and use the straps as basically a ladder to climb up into the pool, and kids have died. 9 have died by getting access to the pool that they, you know, shouldn't have been able to have, except that you basically built a little ladder for them. And anybody who's ever had kids will know that kids will climb on everything. You know, they will climb on everything. So they're now recalling all of these pools, and they're saying there's a recall in the pools. It says basically they've got a rope system that they're going to use instead of these tie lines or whatever they are. And, you know, that's the way they solve it. And, I mean, I'm assuming that they've actually solved it in the product recall, that it actually works quite a bit better. But, 5.2 million pools. And out of that, you've had, you know, 9 between the ages of, you know, like toddler age all the way up through like 18, something like, 18 months to like 2 years, I think, has been, or 4 years has been kind of the age range that they're talking about. On the other hand, look, the odds that any given child is going to do this is 1 in 500,000 out of all the pools, right? You know, if there's 9 out of 5 million, that's 1 in 500,000 roughly. So the odds are still very, very, very low. The age between 22 months and 3 years is the age here. So, and the pools, again, are 4 feet tall, 48 inches. Brands like Walmart, Target, well, Places, sorry, not brand, like Intex, I know, is one of the brands, and I only know that because we have an Intex boat. Walmart, Target, Lowe's, Costco, Amazon, and some were sold in Canada, only about 250,000 of them. So if you have, you know, you'll immediately, I'm sure you'll recognize your pool, or you can look it up online and see if it applies to you. 5:57, but they basically say, like, you know, you should always be watching your kids, and I think that too. There's, you know, you should be watching your kid. A kid playing in the backyard around a pool that's full of water, there should be a parent supervising. Even if it's a 4-foot, but I know you buy pools for this reason, and you don't have a ladder for this reason, and or you have a fence for this reason, and I kind of get that way of thinking. Let's see, what else do we have going on? Oh, sorry. Candy, you're just going to be angry at me for this one, but it's okay.
Yeah, it's not new.
Did you see that Kamala Harris?
Oh, come on. What? And no.
She put out a post celebrating the 1-year anniversary of her campaign.
Good. That was a wonderful campaign.
1 year ago
today,
I began my campaign for President of the United States. Over the 107 days of our race, I had the opportunity and honor to travel our nation and meet with Americans who were fighting for a better future. And today, millions of Americans continue to stand up.
Yeah, what an upstanding.
Yeah,
never mind. Well, I'm not.
But for someone who never got even one primary vote, it's a weird thing to celebrate. Also, for someone who did not win, it's a weird thing to celebrate. Hey, do you remember last year when I didn't win? you're looking. I love you, Candy. Let's see. Becoming
she
the
at McDonald's.
Or becoming the presidential. This is a RNC Research, which is a social media platform or a social media account run by the RNC. Becoming the presidential nominee without getting a single vote is not the flex you think it is. 1 year ago today, I began from somebody else, John Hawkins. From 1 year ago today, I began my campaign for president of the United States. Oh, wow. Remember, I did Drew Barrymore and she called me Mamala and Beyonce endorsed me, right? How'd that work out? Did you win? It sounds like maybe you think you won after spending $1 billion in 3 months to hire influencers and Oprah and get a private jet. So anyway, but, you know, hey, look, it's a year. It's time to rebrand. Why not? Give it a shot. Oh,
yeah, let's leave it up to Theo Vaughn.
No mention of Joe Biden in this at all, by the way.